May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. That your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. Today, like the book of Acts, there's Christian persecution. As a matter of fact, we are living in a time where there's Christian persecution, the worst it's ever been. Christian persecution today is worse than even when Nero was alive. The Christians remain one of the most persecuted religious groups in the world. And while Christian persecution takes many forms, it is defined as hostility experienced as a result of having a relationship with Jesus. To paraphrase that, if you say you're following Jesus and you align yourself and identify yourself with Jesus, then you will be persecuted. And Christians throughout the world continue to risk imprisonment, loss of home and assets, and torture, beheadings, rape, and even death as a result of their faith. Persecution is intensifying. So I want to invite you to pray today for the persecuted church. Pray if you today belong to Jesus, and if you say you belong to the church, let us pray for our family. There are family around the world, the ones who place the faith in Jesus, that we will not only pray for them, but we will stand together and stand up for the name of Jesus and sing his praises with them. As I listened to this video multiple times, watch the video, and then Pastor Faisal says, but we have a church. But we have a church. I don't think he's meaning their small fellowship. I think he's meaning all of us, those who believe around the world. He's using the capital letter C. If you have never heard before, The Voice of the Martyrs is a free subscription magazine that you can get it for free. Pull out the tear piece inside, this card, and subscribe so you can have a prayer journal. Well, in the first service, we ran short of magazines, but if you go to persecution.com, you will get it. Or our missions office will order a few boxes. And I don't want to waste these, because these are valuable resource. You can learn to pray for our brothers and sisters that's being persecuted. Won't you please join me and stand and remember our persecuted brothers and sisters around this world. Father, it's in the name of Jesus we call upon your name today. Father, I pray, dear God, that same Jesus died for me is the same Jesus who died for Paul, for John, for Sarah, and for Samuel, and for Pastor Faisal in Pakistan, suffering persecution, torment, because they have chosen to give the life to you. I'm sure the names have been changed. They chose the name John. They chose the name Paul. They chose the name Sarah. They chose the name Samuel, so that they can be identified with biblical servants from Scripture. And that tells me, dear God, that these people are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for persecuted Christians throughout this world that don't have the privilege of coming into a facility like ours. to glorify your name. That coming, dear God, into a place where we know each other and we sing praises. Today we sang upon the cross. There's only one cross, and that cross is where our Savior died for the whole wide world. Father, won't you instill in our hearts, dear God, the passion, the urgency, so we can pause what we are doing and read. Lord, thank you for the voice of the martyrs. Thank you for open doors. Thank you, dear God, that we can learn about our brothers and sisters. Father, you said in your word, in my Father's house, there's many rooms. I'm going to prepare a place for them. Father, you are prepared a place for Pastor Faisal. And for all these we saw on this video, they have a prepared place for them. But Father, while we're on this side of heaven, we will suffer together and pray for those who are suffering persecution. Jesus, you are enough. Call your church to stand and stand together. Let the nations be glad. Lord, your word teaches us, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of Jesus as waters cover the sea. Oh, challenge our hearts, dear God, today. I commit to pray. Won't you, all who are present, commit to pray? In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Jesus, talking on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, says these words: "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Persecution. I read this verse over and over and over, and what stood out for me? This is what stood out for me. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness. You know what's the meaning of righteousness? Having a right standing before a holy God. That's righteousness. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness. And you know, many of us, we don't want to be persecuted because we have a nice car, or we don't want to be persecuted because we have a big bank balance. We don't want to be persecuted because we have good clothes. I tell you, we want to be persecuted because they see our righteousness living for Jesus. That even when these people, you watch those videos, even when their bosses hate them and mistreat them and torture them, they can go back and pray, "Jesus, won't you please love these people more? Won't you please help me to love them more? Won't you please help me to serve them more? Won't you please help me to display to them who you are?" Because they don't know. If I want to be persecuted, I want to be persecuted because of righteousness. Because I stand for Jesus, and I live for Jesus. But I don't want to roll up my sleeves and take the business into my own hands. That's not the result of persecution. Then, my friend, you have another agenda. If you're a Christ follower and you want to be persecuted, may people talk about your righteousness. That when they hate you, and when they gossip against you, or they mistreat you, or even if they do bad things against you in your workplace, you can look at them right in the face and say, "You know what? Jesus loves you, and tonight my family is going to be praying for you." Living for Jesus. That's what Jesus is talking about. Scripture teaches us, the Bible calls us to be the voice for the voiceless. He called us to be the voice for the orphans. And he called us to be the voice for the widows. He called us to be the voice for the poor. Listen to Psalm 82 and verse number 3. "Stand up for those who are weak and for the fatherless. See to it that those who are poor and those who are beaten down are treated fairly." It's our responsibility, those of us who believe in Jesus Christ, that we need to stand up for those who are being persecuted, our own brothers and sisters, so that we can stand in the gap for them. We can stand in the gap for them. I don't know when last you prayed a prayer for the world. This is what John Stott, a missiologist in England, this is what he wrote, and I quote, "I was at a church service in England, and prayer took 20 seconds. I said to myself, it's a village church with a village God. They have no interest in the world outside. There was no thinking about the poor, the oppressed, the refugees, the places of violence, and the world of the persecuted believers. It was a 20-second prayer, Lord, won't you please bless our day and remove our back pain? If you have a back pain, take Aleve. God works through Aleve. Use that time of prayer to pray for a people group who don't know Jesus." I told it in the first service, I got a loud amen. We've spent too much time praying about backaches and ankle aches. Get up and go to the doctor. Go on your knees and pray for those who don't know Jesus. Stop that village prayer, because we have a global God. For God so loved the... So pray for the world. Don't pray, woe is me. Pray for the world. Pray for those who are being persecuted, those who are put into prison, those who are being beheaded. Recently, my wife and I were, Desh and I were flying from Vermont, and we just landed, and I saw CNN, Pastor Brunson finally released from prison. How many of you heard of Pastor Brunson? Yes. Yes, he was in Turkey for 2 years, right? Struggling for Jesus. I'm like, amen. Living for Jesus comes at a price. We are at war, my friend, and until our King comes back, we are at war. Persecution is increasing daily. The darker the age gets, the worse persecution comes. And if you are a follower of Jesus, you will be persecuted. We need to hold on to the Word of God. We can't fail. We can't quit. We can't turn back. We need to trust our King and stand up for those who cannot stand up. Stand up for Jesus. Stand up for our family. Because many of these people, they will think to themselves, well, they are second-class citizens. They need to go unnoticed. Oh, let me tell you, let me remind you, you are being noticed. You are being accepted. Those of us who know Jesus, the King notices you. The King of Kings notices you. He accepts you. He loves you. Although they will say you are a second-class citizen and you need to clean the sewer every day, you are accepted. You are noticed. Because my Son died for you. That's why we need to stand up, O church. And so my goal here today is not to have persecution overshadow the gospel. Neither do I want to make you guilty about how everybody else in the world is suffering persecution. My goal for the time I have here today is to point you to righteousness. Because when you live for Jesus in righteousness, oh, you will be persecuted. My goal is to point you to Christ. My goal is to point you to the King. My goal is to point you to the one who called you to make a difference where you are, in your office, in your workplace, or wherever God takes you. My goal is to point you to the King. So don't go and say, well, Sean made us feel really bad today. Well, if you don't know Jesus, you ought to feel bad, number one. All right? But I'm calling you to point you to the urgent need that how you and I should align our life to Jesus and stop praying 20-second village prayers. Start interceding for those families who are struggling for the gospel. And it's not only happening in Pakistan, it's happening here in the United States. God cares for the suffering. God always has a heart for the afflicted. When Israel was enslaved in Egypt, God heard their cries and he heard their affliction and he came down. Exodus chapter 3 and verse number 7, God said to Moses through the burning bush, he heard the cry of his people and God wants to do something about it. He called to Moses. Today, God has heard the cry of his people and he's calling his church. God has heard the cry of his people and is calling the church. Oh, church, arise. Oh, onward, Christian soldiers, let us march onto war. You know, growing up, I watched the cartoon Popeye. I don't know if you watch Popeye. Yeah, a lot of fans. Popeye actually made it to Africa, believe it or not. I loved watching the show before school. It was always before school. You remember, who's that big guy? Right, he was always after Olive, right? Not Olive, Baptist, Olive. That's what Popeye's girl's name was, right? And you remember every time he'd come and interfere, would Olive interfere at all? And Popeye, the scrawny dude, this is what he says. That's all I can stand. I can't stand no more. Spinach and broom, broom, and then bang. That's how it ends. Right? God is crying out today, that's all I can stand. I can't stand no more. And God has given you the power, not through spinach, it's called the Holy Spirit, to do something about it. Whenever God's cry of his people reaches him, he raises a people, he raises a generation. God could be raising you to stand in the gap for the afflicted. And I looked in scripture, I'm thinking, okay, the first martyr, Stephen, turn in your Bibles, Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7 talks about the first martyr and how Stephen stood for Jesus. The power of we. As you're turning in scripture, you know, in up north, it snows a lot. Snow is beautiful. I knew a church in the panel would never say amen when I said snow is beautiful. But each snow, you know, the first snow, you look at the first snowflake, man, it's beautiful. Trust me. Look at the first snowflake, it is beautiful. And then a couple snowflakes get together. When a lot of them get together, they stop traffic. Yeah. Right? If you know Jesus, and you find other people who know Jesus, we will stop the work of the enemy right now. We will lock arms together and shut down every highway of the enemy when we come together. It's high time that the Church of Jesus Christ stood and locked arms with churches in Pakistan so that we can shut down the work of the enemy and all together live for his glory. So scripture teaching us in Stephen, and you look at Stephen in Acts chapter 6, when they were choosing those among them, they chose men with good repute, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Stephen's name was number one. Stephen loved Jesus. And so you look at Stephen, the gospel permeated his life. He was living for Jesus. And you know the story, we'll catch it in Acts chapter 7 and verse number 54. Now when they heard these things, they were enraged and they ground their teeth at him. These were mad religious people. But he, Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Verse 58, they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. These words are very familiar, right? Stephen knew Jesus. Stephen modeled his life after Jesus. You look at the entire speech of Stephen in Acts chapter 7. He was full of the Holy Spirit, a man of good repute, a man of wisdom. And Stephen stood up and he had mercy over those who were killing him. Do you know why Stephen was praying? Lord, have mercy on these people. Do you know why? Stephen knew that God had mercy on him. So you and I, when we are persecuted in various forms in our workplaces, in our jobs, in our communities, we need to pray this prayer. Oh, Father, won't you please have grace and mercy over them as you have over me? Don't pray, God, I wish you punish them. I wish your wrath falls upon them. No. Don't fold your sleeves for your neighbors. Open your heart for your neighbors. Because you are strategically placed at that very moment to share the love of Jesus with your neighbors. They don't know love. Those of them who don't know Jesus, Jesus is love. And so Stephen is standing there and saying, Lord, forgive them. Forgive them. And guess who's standing in the circle? Saul. Saul is standing in a circle. And you read about Saul, what he's about. He's all about killing Christians. But in that moment, Stephen stood up for Jesus. I'm saying today, can a Stephen please stand up in Pensacola? Can a Stephen please stand up in your office cubicle? Can a Stephen please stand up in the college? Can the Stephen please stand up in your workplace and say, you know what, I forgive you? Can a Stephen please stand up? You know, those of you who stand up for GRC, Mr. Frank Lay is there. I had coffee with him and talked. Your story reached Connecticut, my brother. So I came to you. They said you stood up. Look at what verse, check this out. Look at what verse number 51 says in Acts chapter 7. Look at what verse number 51 says. This is what Stephen said to these religious people. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. And your fathers did, so do you. Oh, there were some naysayer Christians, you know, they're secret Christians. They were like, Stephen, this is a good time to zip your mouth. These people kill Jesus. They're going to kill you too and kill me too. This is a good time to We understand you love Jesus, but this is a good verse. Out of the abundance of Stephen's heart, his mouth spoke. You stand before these religious people who just killed Jesus and tell them, hey, you stiff-necked people. Oh, yeah, that's bad. Then he says, don't pick on their fathers. You know when you pick on your mother and father, you're taking the battle to another level. You know what I mean? He's like, your fathers were just like, oh, yeah, they stoned him. When somebody is standing up for the gospel, don't turn down the volume. It's a good time to turn up the volume. It's a good time for church to come together and say, stand up for Jesus. There's no time. These people are dying, going to lost eternity. There's no time. You know what? You know, I have people who are, Sean, you know what? Tone the gospel message down. No, I'm sorry. You got the wrong guy. I got a loud voice with a unique accent. I'm going to shout for Jesus. I'm just telling you that. That's why I came. I came to shout for Jesus. I may sound a little funny, but Jesus understands what I'm trying to say. And if you have children serving King Jesus in your schools, in your colleges, and even in the mission field, don't tell them tone it down. You should tell them tone it up. Let Jesus fight the battles for you. Sometimes we want to play it really safe. There's no time for naysayers in the kingdom of God. You know, when you say, you know what, I never, you know, tone it down, when Jesus comes, he's going to say, who are you? I never knew you. Depart from me. So I'm thinking these people are like, hey, Stephen, shh. This is a bad time. Oh, no. Stephen said, I live for Jesus, I die for Jesus. And we're saying at the cross today, how often we want to live a safe life. We don't want to pray. You want to live a safe life. There is no safe life when you sign your life for Jesus. Your life is not your own. Anyway, this world is not after you. They are after the Savior who you serve. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness. Who is righteous? Not us. No, not one. It's Him. So be persecuted because of Him. He makes us righteous. Stephen stood up. And this is what scripture, I heard pastors quote this, and I just wrote this verse down, Isaiah 56:10. Israel's watchmen are blind. They all lack knowledge. They are all mute dogs. They cannot bark. They lie around and dream. They love to sleep. Man, I don't want my name to be written like that. Do you? Oh, there was a need for someone to pray in your office, but this dog, he didn't bark. That guy, he was asleep. I want to live for Jesus. I want to live for Jesus. I don't want to be mute. I want to bark for Jesus. I don't want to sleep. I want to be awake for Jesus. So don't feel ashamed in your workplace. That's why we're having work as worship. How can you live for King Jesus in your workplace? If you're spending 40 hours at your workplace, I think God has a plan for you there. Amen? Thank God for those who practice your patience, or else you won't grow in patience. How do you grow in the fruit of the Spirit? Have people around you. You cannot grow in the fruit of the Spirit if you find yourself all alone in a desert somewhere. Love, joy, peace. Patience, you need impatient people around you to help you be patient. Amen? You are there as an agent of the gospel. Live for Jesus. Man, I'm asking you today, would a Stephen please stand up? In our college ministry, we have gospel conversations. So we, John Huff, the college students got together and they said, hey, for every semester at college, we want to have 50 gospel conversations. Listen to this, guys. Listen to this. It'll blow your mind away. Our college students are having a competition who shares Christ most in the university. How about that? I mean, come on. Somebody say amen. Amen. Our college students are having a competition who has most gospel conversations on the college campus. Are you serious? Pastor said, I want one champion. Oh, no. He's going to get a tribe of champions. Amen. And may that tribe be multiplied. Amen, Mr. Lee. You live for the gospel. What can they do to you? Just give you a big plot of land in Sumatra. You build another school. Here we go. Amen. Hey, but listen to this. When you stand for the gospel, God turns adversaries into advocates. Look at what happened to Saul. What happened to Saul? Do you know somebody prayed for Saul? We never see. When Stephen looked at all those around him and said, Father, oh, please forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Guess who was there? Saul. Somebody prayed for Saul to come to know Jesus. Stephen did while he was almost dead. What happened to Saul? Read the book of Acts. Oh, Saul on the road to Damascus. He went to kill more Christians. And then the Lord arrested his heart. Then he went down, next chapter, to Straight Street. Then he met Ananias. What happened? He became the most talked after missionary in the New Testament. Do you know why? A persecuted Stephen decided to pray for Saul on his last dying breath. So I watched those videos. And they say, don't only pray for us, pray for our persecutors. Pray for the persecutors so that when they come to know the Lord, it'll be great revival. Stephen prayed because you and I know it. We were once adversaries before God. We were enemies before God. And then now Jesus Christ came into our heart. Now we're advocates for King Jesus. Amen? How many of you remember at one time your heart was so hardened and every time people came to share Christ with you, you're like, I'll shut the door on them. I don't want to hear the gospel message. Well, finally the seed took root. And today you hear, forgiven. I was a stubborn man. I was a prideful woman. But Jesus came into my heart. How many of you can bear witness? I was that. Missionaries come tell me about Jesus. Jesus loved the little children of the world. Black, yellow, da, da, da. And then you don't love me. I'm like, my heart was hard at one time. Of sin. I was an adversary. I was an enemy. Do you think those persecuted Christians, they are praying that their bosses will become Christians? And then they will come to know Jesus. Because by the way they work, even cleaning sewer pits, jumping in that sewer pit, they do it with the joy of the Lord as a witness for King Jesus. Imagine you washing clothes and dressing up those children, and they go pray to a foreign god. Then Pastor Faisal says, but we have a church. Would you please stand up for the church, for Jesus? You see, sometimes we always see all the dangers. Let me remind you, the gospel cannot be arrested. You can arrest the Christ follower, you can never arrest the gospel message. You cannot add to it, you cannot subtract to it. It is the gospel message, it is a power of salvation for those of us who believe. And if you are here today, let me tell you, man, come and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He loves you. You may be running the race, but you may be in the wrong race. You see, in the race of Jesus, everybody wins. Amen? You run the other race, you may lose. You are losing already. I told John Tyner is a runner, I like to run the Jesus race with him because we all get gold medals, right? Even if he beats me, we all going to the same place, all right? You are running so hard, you could be running the wrong race. Move your lane and come to Jesus. Everybody wins when they come to Jesus. Everybody wins when they come to Jesus. And so this guy, after dying. So let's rewind a little bit. You know, remember Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples? The word go means as you are going. Present, indicative, active. As you are going, make disciples. Acts 1:8, Jesus says, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. As you are going, be witnesses. Present, indicative, active. So Jesus gets his disciples, say, okay, you need to go all in all the world and make disciples. Got you, Jesus. You be with us. Then Acts 1:8, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. We got it, Jesus. Then Jesus says, goodbye, I'm going to my Father. Like, what's up, Jesus? We want you with me. Like, okay, go into all the world, right? And make disciples. Phew, gone. Going in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, is now the word scattering. What happened with the church in Jerusalem, they began to have potlucks every week and sing kumbaya. Yeah, they like covered dishes. I'm talking about Jerusalem. Amen. The first Baptist church of Jerusalem. And they forgot there's Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the world. Forgot. And then Jesus said, hey, Saul, I want you to go and scatter these people. So Saul wasn't scattering them. God was scattering them. So wherever they went, they met. Look at what Acts chapter 8 and verse number 1 says. And Saul approved his execution, and he arose on that day a great persecution amongst the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea. We heard Judea, Samaria in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, right? No, there was no plane ride, first class going to Judea and Samaria. They were running for their lives to Samaria. Don't get so lukewarm in your faith that God has to raise up a persecution to let you out of your comfort zone. You were saved with a purpose. The gospel came to you because it was heading to somebody else. Persecution arose, and now they're running, running, running. I discipled a lot of guys, some of them in Nepal, some of them in New England, some of them all over the world. I tell them, hey, we're going to pray. I'll meet you at the throne. So when I bow my knees in Pensacola, Florida, when my brothers bow the knees in Kathmandu, Nepal, we are all at the throne. Mother Teresa said this, a life not lived for others is not a life. It's just an existence. We are the church. We don't exist for us. We exist for others. We exist for the world. We are alive and the world is dead. We are the light and the world is darkness. The most powerful time of any worship service when we say, now go. That's the most, I mean, the singing is really good. The preaching is for today. But the go, you are saying, all these thousands of people came to this campus. Now go and make a difference. Go and love people.
I like what Bob Goff said. Just don't wait for a plan. Just go and love someone. That's what we're talking about. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 3 says, remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. Can I have a Stephen just stand up for Jesus in the room? Amen, my brother. Can I have somebody just say, Jesus, I want to stand up for you. I don't want to be mute anymore. I don't want to be ashamed anymore. I want to stand up for you. There's people who are dying and going to a lost eternity and don't know Jesus. Lord, I don't want to be ashamed anymore. I want to stand up. I told Pastor, I said, man, I love you, my brother. He's on a one-month sabbatical. I told Pastor, if you are leading anyone to battle, sign me up. I'll follow you every day, any day. Our pastor leads by example. Anywhere he goes, he carries his tracks and he shares the good news of Jesus Christ. This week was 28 years he's been here at Olive Baptist Church. Can we just stand up and pray a life be more intentional? Our lives that we live more intentional. I'm waiting for the day when we come up here all the time and laying hands on missionaries and saying, now go into all the world. I'm waiting for the day when our young people will come together and say that go into all the world. I'm waiting for a day where we can be the biggest missionary sending church in Pensacola. I'm waiting for the day. And God's going to call each one of us to say, I want to stand up. I want to go and study in Vermont because Vermont needs Jesus. I want to go to Nepal because Nepal needs Jesus. I want to go. And let me tell you, your church will stand with you. I'm waiting for that day. As John comes to sing. Sex trafficking is the worst it has ever been in this world. Sex traffickers are going all over the world, including the United States. I was serving with the North American Mission Board. The biggest sex trafficking day in America is on Super Bowl Sunday. It's a fact. I-10 right here is a very busy highway. I want to challenge you today. Sex traffickers, listen to me very carefully. How can it be that sex traffickers has reached the unreached people groups before the church? How can it be that sex traffickers has reached the Himalaya mountains and stealing boys and girls away from the mommy and daddies before the church could go there and tell them about Jesus? How can it be? How can it be? How can it be that 2 billion people in this world never heard the name Jesus? And sex traffickers are going and taking young boys and girls, blindfolding them, and the parents never see them again. I'm just saying, church, stand up and pray for those who don't have a voice. Pray for Pastor Faisal, and pray for that sewage worker, and pray for that domestic worker. Stand up. Stand up. And don't make God your own village God. God is a global God. He wants the nations to be glad and rejoice in Him. I challenge you, I commit to pray. Go to persecute.com, get yourself a magazine, and make it your duty that every morning you will go on your knees and pray for the persecuted church and do something about it. Or don't go to Pakistan. What about Pensacola? Are you praying for your co-workers? Are you living with such joy? It's such a joy to live for Jesus. Man, it's such a joy to live for Jesus. Don't you want more people to know that joy? That Jesus loves them so much so that He died for them? I want to challenge you today. Jesus Christ came to die so that you can take him to the world.